Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. I feel like if it wasn't Sabbath tomorrow, we'd all need to get up and do jumping jacks. But we're not going to. I am going to be talking to you this week a lot about missions. I want to share with you a little bit about me this week, but I'm also going to be sharing about how God is working around the world. When I was a young girl, how many of you remember when we had mission spotlight and they would have the projectors? Remember? And you'd hear the click, and then you'd hear like the audio going, and then you'd hear click, and then audio, and then click. So I remember as a little girl, I lived in upstate New York, and I was in this white church on a hill. It's like the kind you see in a calendar, right? And my dad was the one in charge of mission spotlight. And I remember sitting, he was in the balcony of our church, and I would sit right underneath it. I remember hearing that click. And there was something about Mission Spotlight. I know it sounds weird, but that click excites me still to this day. There's something about that noise that just conjures up these incredible memories. But I remember hearing about all these countries all over the world and how the Adventist Church was working in them and the needs. And as a little girl, that really just compelled me. It just made me want to learn more and more about these countries. And so I started really learning a lot about geography. And then I went to our small local Adventist school. And when I say small, we had 13 kids, grades K through 8. And I think the library contained the same books that my mom read when she went to the same school. And my favorite ones were the stories by Eric B. Hare. I loved reading those mission stories. And I remember reading about all like the witch doctors and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I remember as a girl thinking, I wonder if that actually still happens. You know, because we don't really hear about it. We just read these stories. And then my uncle went to Nepal. And he went and did some work at Shear Memorial Hospital, helped doing some building. And when he came back, he started telling us stories. I'm going to tell you, Nepal became this place that I just longed to go to. And I got married to my husband, and I remember Adventist World Radio came and presented at our church in Hagerstown, Maryland, and they started telling stories about Nepal, and I started to cry. Because it was this place I had always wanted to visit. It was this place I always had wanted to support and know more about. And here they're telling me stories about how God is working in Nepal. And so what I decided I wanted to do was to donate money to this. And so I told my husband, and my husband, he worked for the church, and I was at home with children. So we were not flowing in cash. And he was like, okay, well, how much are you thinking? And I could see this look on his face. Now, I control the finances. I'm the one who pays our bills. And he kind of like looks at me. And I'm like, well, what do you think? And he goes, I don't know, like 25? I go, I kind of really feel like we need to do 100. And he just kind of looked at me like, what are you thinking? But he's like, if that's what you think, let's give. So I've always had this heart for missions. And tomorrow I'm going to share my story about how God led, or Monday, I'm going to share my story about how God led me to be able to work for missions. But I realized that something is missing these days. And I realized my children are not hearing mission stories. We're not publishing new mission books. I don't necessarily know what's going on, it feels like, a lot of times. And I was talking with some other parents a couple years ago. We were talking about our concern for our young people, our concern that they were not identifying with the church. We have a generation now that is more excited about doing things than any previous generation. They don't just buy into the church. They want to be a part of the church. They want to do something with the church. So we have this incredibly like driven generation, but they don't know where to go. They don't know what's going on. And so when I joined Adventist World Radio, one of the things I loved was the fact that they are sharing their stories. And I am so excited to be able to share their stories with you. So I want to ask, what is missions? What does it mean? What is missions? This is my definition of missions. Missions is hearing God's call and partnering with him to expand his kingdom. So God speaks to each and every one of us. We have to hear him, which means we have to be connected to him. If you're not connected, you're not going to hear him. Am I right? We have to be praying. We have to be studying. We have to be willing to listen to the Spirit leading. So when we hear God's call, we partner with him. This does not always mean foreign missions. It's okay, good news. He's probably not going to send you all to Afghanistan this weekend, okay? But he has sent you to West Virginia. And maybe, praise the Lord. You know, maybe he's going to send some of you somewhere overseas. Who knows? But I want to speak with you today about why missions matters. Because I feel like we have to understand that for any of these stories and any of the rest of this to truly make sense. There are nearly 7,000 unreached people groups. 7,000. That represents more than 2 billion people. I'm going to let that sink in. 2 billion people. This is where it gets sad to me. Out of every 1,000 gospel workers worldwide, only 14 serve among the unreached. 14. That means, I'm really bad at math, 9,986. Am I right? Okay, good. 9,986 reach the reached. 14 are trying to reach the unreached. And out of every $100 given for ministry worldwide, less than one penny goes to the unreached. That's kind of a sobering statistic. It gets me every time because there are so many people who need to hear the good news. And the Bible actually talks about the fact that until the whole world hears, he's not coming. But what are we doing about these people? So I want to take you actually from the AWR headquarters to the 1040 window. If you're not familiar with the 1040 window is, it is the countries that lie between the north latitude 10 and 40 degrees. Okay? So you're talking about all of North Africa, the Middle East, and all of Southern Asia. The people that live in this window are primarily Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, animist, or they have no religion at all. These brothers and sisters of ours, because that is exactly what they are, desperately need to hear about a Savior who died for them, rose again, and is coming very soon. I love this. From Revelation, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of waters. And I love this because it says we are to preach the everlasting gospel, and that is about Jesus Christ. It is not, okay, I know I'm at a Seventh-day Adventist camp meeting, it is not about bringing people to the church. That is wonderful. It is about bringing people to Jesus Christ. And when they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they start to follow the Bible. Honestly, the Adventist church is inevitable. We've got to bring people to Jesus. And it says to fear God, and that means to awe, be in awe of him. And when you see the stories, I'm going to share some today, but when you see and hear these stories, I'm going to tell you, there is nothing you can do but be in awe. God is working. He is working around the world, but you know where he really wants to work? Is in your heart. He wants to work in your heart so you can work in your community to reach them. So I made my daughters take this picture of me yesterday. Adventist World Radio has been the official radio ministry of the Adventist Church since October 1971. So I first, when I got to the GC 9 months ago, so I'm very, very, and I've been there a long time. So 9 months ago, I got to the GC and we lived in a hotel for 36 days. And you have not experienced life until you have lived in a hotel with three kids, a husband, a wife, three guinea pigs, and a parrot. Okay, It is the funnest adventure everywhere, anywhere. But we did get to eat Nutella for breakfast every day, so we couldn't really complain. So, and someone made my bed. So we, when we got there, there was two other families living in the hotel at the same time as us, and we created this incredible bond because we were all in transition to the GEC, and so our families got to know each other. Every night we would hang out together, and we pretty much consider each other family now because we were kind of thrown in at the same time. But the second day I was there, in all sincerity, he looked at me, one of the men, and he goes, "I don't think Adventist World Radio is going to be around much longer." And I was like, "Really? Why not?" I was a little worried by this, right? I mean, this is my job. We just moved my entire family here. He goes, "Radio's dead. Radio's dead." And I was like, okay. So I went into work the next day. I was like, "So, can you really just like really delve into this? Explain to me, like, radio's not dead. Radio is not dead, folks. In almost every place in the entire world, radio is not dead. Here in America, we maybe don't listen to it as much, but people in other nations, they can't afford TV, they don't have cable. Radio is literally what they do for entertainment. It is how they get their news. It is considered the most trustworthy and reliable source. I actually met a family that came to the GC, and they were so excited when they met me, and she had all her kids. She goes, "These are the people who gave us our radio." And I found out that every single night, they have no electricity where they live in India. And every night, they crank up the radio, because it's solar charged, and they listen to the radio as they go to sleep at night. And the only light that they have in their home is the light that comes off this flashlight in the front of the radio. So not only are they getting physical light, they are getting spiritual light every night. And the kids were so excited about that. So as you can see, we're located at the General Conference headquarters, and I love what a pastor in Madagascar said. So if you're familiar with Madagascar, it's that island right off of Africa. What you might not know is that a third of Madagascar is what they call the red zone. We're going to have some stories from there this week. This area is completely lawless. The government exerts little to no control of that whole entire area. They just don't even go in. The soldiers, the police don't even bother. It's completely controlled by bad guys. I can't remember what their names are. We'll get to it. Anyways, so a pastor said, we are the missionary. The radio is the missionary that comes before the missionaries. We break the ground. So I feel like I could kind of talk a little bit more about it, but what I'd really love to do is actually share my first story. And it's actually a video, and it's the beginning part of it is going to give a little bit more background to Adventist World Radio, but then we're going to actually take you to North Korea, where we had a story of Kim. And we want to share the story with you because we want you to understand the work that shortwave and our AM/FM radios are doing in the 1040 region.
Surrounded in a culture that is defined as strong and defiant, rich in ancient customs and traditions, these beautiful people live in harmony and freedom. It is difficult to imagine that only miles from here is one of the most dangerous places on earth, a land where missionaries cannot go. What I love about Adventist World Radio is that it is the ministry that goes wherever air goes.
AWR began in 1971 with a mission to spread the gospel message to hard-to-reach places. Nearly 50 years later, this is still our mission. Broadcasting from strategic locations around the globe, AWR can be heard in over 100 languages via shortwave radio with a special focus on the 1040 window. Our network also includes over 1,000 FM, AM, DAB, and internet stations. AWR is expanding to all media platforms such as Facebook Audio, YouTube, and AWR cell phone evangelism. Our motto, no walls, no borders, no limits. This year, our special focus is North Korea. Home to 25 million people, the country right behind me hardly needs an introduction. But behind the political and military headlines that reach our shores, we can only imagine how the millions of common North Koreans are starving for hope, truth, and a better life. Like many other radio programs in North Korea, our AWR broadcasts have often been jammed.
We recently began a new high-power AM broadcast into North Korea from Mongolia, and we are so excited for its success at touching more lives than ever. Only a handful of stories from North Korea make it out, but the few that do spur us on. The following is one of them.
One night at my church, an unfamiliar woman entered and sat near the back. Her face bore hard lines, hiding her youth. I wondered who she was.
This stranger sat alone on a pew, and after everyone had left, the pastor joined her. I escaped North Korea, she admitted. And I'm not safe here in China either. But I have one request, she said. Will you baptize me?
Do you even know what baptism means? I questioned.
Yes,
was her resolute response.
I learned about Jesus through the radio. While in hiding, this dear woman found a radio, and tuning it stopped when she heard bits of the familiar Korean language. It was the voice of hope through Adventist World Radio. This discovery soon turned her loneliness and fear into courage and hope as she learned about the one who left all and died for her salvation. A longing was born in her heart to one day go back and share what she was learning with her family and friends in North Korea.
We studied the Bible together for 1 week, and she soaked up every word. You could feel the Holy Spirit's presence in the room.
After this week of studying, a secret baptism was held. All the doors and windows were closed, and everyone sang hymns softly so as not to be heard. And in a lonely bathtub, this North Korean lady was baptized. With tear-stained cheeks and joyous eyes, she declared her allegiance to God alone. After her baptism, she expressed her desire for freedom and the ability to study the Bible at the Adventist University in South Korea. She set off on foot that very night.
Sometime later, I received a phone call. The voice on the other line said in a whisper, "I have safely arrived to the border. Tonight is the night. Please pray for me." All I could think about were the 8 strands of barbed wire. Would she make it?
Unfortunately, she did not cross the border that night, but was found by Chinese soldiers who sent her back to her country of birth, where she was executed.
I was so saddened to receive this news. I would never see those joyful eyes again. I remembered what she had told me. Even if I am captured, I will die with the hope of salvation.
She sought freedom, and what the North Korean soldiers did not realize is she found it. True freedom in Jesus Christ, and no one could take this from her.
There are many others who are also seeking freedom. Will you join us in setting the captives free? By God's grace, with your support, AWR will fulfill this dear woman's dream to tell the people of North Korea about Jesus soon coming. From broadcast to baptism, this is AWR 360.
It doesn't have maybe what we would consider the most happiest of endings, but all heaven rejoiced. Sorry, that one always chokes me up. There, another incredible story that came out of North Korea was another man named Kim. So apparently, as we know, Kim's kind of a common name over there. But he actually was able to escape, and he was able to go and study at our university in South Korea. And he is actually preparing to go back and sneak into North Korea so that he can go and tell his family about Jesus. So please pray for him, because obviously we all know that North Korea does not really want people to be sharing that, so the penalties are pretty high. Anyway, so she is why we do what we do. We don't often hear a lot of stories that come out of the 1040 region because of that. We talked about the idea that we built our first shortwave station was in Guam. So here is an actual video that will show you what it looks like. So this right here is our stations in Guam. I'm going to tell you, I had no idea how shortwave works until I got there, and I still only have a very loose understanding. Fortunately, I am not an engineer. So shortwave can actually bounce. The signal bounces and can go much longer distances than AM, FM radio does. So I actually used to think that broadcasted from these towers themselves. It's not true. I just learned that when I got there. So there's actually wires that go between all of these, and they actually turn the wires, okay, between each of these things, and it directs it toward a certain part of the world, and then those bounce over to them, and then they can continue to bounce until those they stop bouncing. But that actually, from those stations, here are by the numbers, as I call it. It was started in 1987. We have 9 employees that are working at our studio in Guam. We have 50 studios around the world who are actually producing material just for shortwave radio. There are 9 shortwave transmitter sites that we lease time from. So 86% of the 1040 region can be actually covered from Guam. However, we can't cover everything, so we lease time off different places in Europe and Africa, so we can reach those areas as well. We broadcast in 71 languages through shortwave, and as you can see from that number, 100%, that is what we get to cover with shortwave. So when we talk about reaching the unreached, we might not be able to send our missionaries, but we can send our missionary before the missionaries. So I want to share, have you ever heard of the Stan countries? That's what we call them, the Stans. It's like Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. Okay, so these are all the Stan countries. It is almost impossible to get missionaries in there. Christianity is pretty much nil. They're actually in some of these countries, the actual official Adventist presence is 0. I cannot show pictures of some of these things, but there was a couple who actually started listening to our shortwave. They piped us up on their shortwave, and they started listening. And they were a Muslim couple, and they started being very convicted of the messages that they heard. And as they were doing this, there was always something that said, here's how to contact us. And so they started contacting and asking questions back and forth. And they were recently snuck out of their country into Pakistan, which is a tad more friendly, tad. And they were baptized. They went back home, and they started secretly reaching out. And they have a group of 20 people now who meet. So that was kind of like the story that we had kind of heard. And then, you know, stories keep progressing very quickly. In the last 3 weeks, we found out that they're somebody informed on them. So they are not able to meet anymore. They have been taken into custody, released, stuff like that. But that is not deterring them from what they are supposed to be doing. And now they are just meeting in groups of 2 and 3 at different homes, and they change it up every single time. So there's no rhyme or reason to what they are doing, it appears. But they are not going to stop spreading the gospel. So we know that the group seems to be increasing, but we can't really tell those exact numbers because they're not meeting in one location anymore. But that is all through the power of shortwave radio. Because we can't put AM, FM there because, as you know, AM, FM have a much shorter radius. So they can't really get as far. But shortwave radio is actually very commonly used in these areas. So I want to ask, why does mission matter? Why does mission even matter? Good job. Because God has called us. He has called us to missions. How many of you know this verse? Everyone should raise their hand. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. He said, go. He didn't say, think about it. He didn't say, let someone else go. He said, go. It does not mean we all have to go to North Korea. It means we are to go. We are to talk to those who are nearest to us. He is not called some of us. He is called all of us. Who was the Bible written for? Just some of us? All of us. So if this Bible has been written for everyone, then that message is talking to every single one of you. You know, it often I hear people say, well, I don't know, is God calling me to missions? Have you ever maybe even thought that in your head, I don't know if God's calling me. It's actually, we need to rechange our thinking. It's, where is God sending me to be a part of his mission? Because it's not if you have been called, it's where you have been called. There was a man named Neville Neveling. Neville Neveling decided that he was going to, he's not a pastor, just a lay person like most of us in this room, and God, he wanted to do something more. So he actually went on an overseas evangelistic trip. So he went and preached sermon overseas. He lives in South Africa, so he went to Georgia, not the state, the country, just to clarify that one. So he went to the country of Georgia, and he preached, and he had been using, how many of you have heard of WhatsApp? Good job. I'm really impressed. So WhatsApp is a free app where you can communicate with anybody all over the world for free. So I recently was in Tanzania. I could call my children. I could write my children messages, and we didn't have to pay for it. It's the most genius thing ever. So he'd been sending like short little blurbs of things to friends, you know, spiritual thoughts each week. And as he was flying home from Georgia, he sat there and pondered, what if we could take these evangelistic sermons that I just preached and I could share them with people? So he decided he was going to start recording them all. So he recorded them all in his native Afrikaans. And he asked people, would you be interested in learning more about Revelation? Pretty soon he had hundreds of people that every single Friday he was sending something to. And thus was born cell phone evangelism, which now is reaching over 300,000 people just on a first drop. Those people in turn are sharing it generally with between 5 to 7 people. So you can figure out the math, because I've already established I'm not really great at math. I did not go to school to be a math. So, and then they share it. There are literally possibly millions of people who are receiving, it's the Revelation of Hope series by Mark Finley. We are, I will actually be devoting pretty much a whole day to some incredible stories that are coming out of cell phone evangelism. And the neatest part is, he was a lay person who just felt a call to do something for those who could not come to church. Find a way to be able to bring people in to help answer their questions. He was actually named one of the two evangelists of the year. So I'm going to tell you, this is kind of a funny thing. His name is Neville Neveling, which I kind of think is funny because Neville Neveling. And The other guy who won it had, his name was like Robert Roberti or something like that. And I was like, okay, so here's the deal. If you want to be the evangelist of the year, your last name and your first name have to sound the same, okay? Anybody here qualify? Okay, we can change names, that's okay. Anyways, so the Bible also talks about, and I love this verse. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Is that not something God has in like liberality? He has so much compassion for us. I'm going to tell you, I'm a hot mess most of the time, and yet he still has grace and compassion big enough for me. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I love this verse because it encompasses to me exactly the purpose of mission. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We talked about there are 2 billion unreached people. Those people are being harassed. Many of them are helpless, and they are sheep without a shepherd. These people are being harassed by demonic spirits, by government. There is no end to what some of these stories. It's incredible how people are just, the devil is bombarding us. But not just in other countries. How many of us struggle to balance our time? The devil attacks us all in different ways. You know what? He probably knows that if he pulled some like witchcrafty type thing, I would probably be able to be somewhat immune to that. So he actually does something different to me. He gets me stuck with busyness, with media devices. Facebook. It's horrible. I love it, but I hate it all at the same time. We get sucked in. All the devil is trying to do is to keep us disconnected from our Savior. And he can actually keep us disconnected while we think we are serving. We can be so busy serving that we forget who we are serving. We forget to have that relationship with Jesus because we're so busy doing things that we're not connecting with him anymore. But so we have all these people who are like sheep without a shepherd. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we saw that, 1,000 people, but for 14 of them, only 14 are reaching the unreached. Now, mind you, I still think it's important for us to try to reach other people. But the harvest is plentiful. Everyone, he wants his children. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. We already know who those workers are because he said, go. We already know where they are. The question is, are we willing to listen? I want to share someone who did listen. This is Durrett. She's 16 years old in this picture. Durrett was struggling with her own relationship with Christ. She was questioning whether the things her parents had taught her actually mattered. Does it matter in the big scheme of things? If I just believe good enough, does that matter? Is Jesus real? Maybe. Who knows? But does it matter? And as she's struggling with these thoughts in her head, she pleads with God and says, I'm going to test you. Make yourself real to me. I need you to make yourself real to me so I will know that I am to serve you. And as I talked with her on the phone and she was telling me her story, at the same time as she's having this heartfelt conversation with God, our vice president of finance was calling her father and saying, we just had somebody drop out of our Zambia meetings. We need a new speaker. Do you know anybody who can come? And like most good parents, we volunteer either our spouse or our children. So he volunteered his daughter. And they bought her a ticket before she even knew. So he came home and said, hey, tomorrow you're flying to Zambia. She lives in South Africa, so it's not like all the way across the world, okay? So she's like, she sees this as a sign. God wants to reveal something to her. So she goes, this is her preaching. I will tell you, when I was in Africa, I went there for our evangelistic series we just did in Tanzania. They make it so pretty. They must buy all the fabric that they have in the entire city that they have, and they just drape fabric everywhere. And it's like these like bandstands, and then they just drape it with fabric. So she's standing here, this is her translator. By the fifth night, she came and talked to one of our staff members, and she said, "You know what? I knew the truth, but now I know the truth." It had become so ingrained in her that just like the theory and stuff like that, but when she went there and talked about it and she spoke about it, all of a sudden she started to believe it for herself. You know, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about these meetings later, but in Zambia we actually held over 1,000 meetings in one city. It was the largest evangelistic crusade that has ever been done anywhere. It was in Lusaka and Livingston. Over 1,000 people, 1,000 locations. And they had over 18,000 baptisms. Now, I know what your first thought may have gone to is, I wonder how many of those stayed. Is that kind of what we immediately go to? Actually, almost all of them have. If you actually think about it, that's only about 18-ish per church. And the church over there is on fire and excited about mentoring people into the church. They disciple. They disciple strong. And so her work, she had over 15 people that were baptized from her site alone. So here's the thing. Can you imagine if we all went back to our home churches, our hometowns, and we said, I bet you we could blanket Beckley with 10 evangelistic series. What about Huntington? What do you think, Huntington? Do you think we can do 20 there? Can you imagine if in Mountain View Conference we decide we're going to have 1,000 on the same 2 weeks? Maybe they look a little different here because we don't have like all these street corners and stuff like that. Maybe here we're taking people into our homes. We're inviting our neighbors in. Maybe we're having small group evangelistic series. Maybe we need to rethink and be out of the box. How is God calling us to reach our communities? I think this is out of order. Oops. So here's another reason, why mission matters. Because we are showing his love to a dying world. Okay, so I'm going to show another video now. It's a short video, but this is, we have a studio. This is also out of Zambia, so it's right near where she actually preached her series. There is a maximum security prison. And in this maximum security prison, as you can imagine, it's kind of like where the worst of the worst in Zambia go. And we have a local radio station, and this lady, they call her Grandma. She decided she was tired of just being God's voice. She wanted to be God's hand and feet. So she goes now to the prison, and she started bringing them radios. And they would listen on the radio, and it was only tuned into where they can listen to what we're doing from our radio station. So they would listen to the radio, and listen to the radio, and then every Sabbath she would come in and they start doing church services. So these are all the producers in the radio station there in Lusaka. And so they would keep doing this and keep doing this. And there's about 1,800 prisoners in this prison. Over a third of them have become Seventh-day Adventists. And the incredible thing is, and they became Seventh-day Adventists once they got in there, they weren't Seventh-day Adventists when they went in, just because a lot of people think that we're saying there was like a third of them were Seventh-day Adventists. A third of them had become Seventh-day Adventists while they were in the prison, and over 50 of those were on death row. And they have no purpose. They have no reason to accept Jesus. It's not going to get them out. You know, you're on death row. You're stuck there. There's nothing for them except the hope and the peace that they have found. They have found freedom behind the bars. So we're going to share a little bit about their story. Maybe. Maybe not.
Hi, I'm Cam Utman, and we just spent the day in prison. This is your AWR 360 moment. As the thief hung on the cross, he must have thought about his life, the choices he had made. He knew that his crimes were deserving of this punishment. Yet the man next to him was so peaceful and kind. He even prayed for his persecutors. The thief was convinced this man was the Son of God. In his last act, he only asked to be remembered. Jesus assured the thief that he would be redeemed. From that moment on, he died with the hope of salvation. Today, there are many in prison awaiting their final punishment of death. Yet, like the thief on the cross, hope still remains. Miraculously, Adventist World Radio just visited Zambia's highest maximum security prison. This is unprecedented. No other media has ever been allowed besides presidents and dignitaries. However, God made a way. Out of 250 death row prisoners, more than 50 have been baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Over 800 inmates have become Adventist, largely due to hearing our gospel radio messages. As our video team entered their worship service, we were overwhelmed with joy. Only a portion of the inmates were attending that day, and their happy, smiling faces said it all. They have the hope of Jesus. This has been your AWR 360 moment.
You know, it's true, he sets the prisoners free. There is something incredible about that story to me, because they really, truly, they can't get out. There is no hope for those death row prisoners, but they have been set free. So the last reason that I believe mission matters is because mission brings God glory. It's that simple. God is brought glory. It is the most unselfish thing we kind of do, because it's not about us. It's about him and what he can do. When I go and do mission, I'm going to tell you, not but for the grace of God is anything going to happen. When people sit there and they have to pray over demon-possessed people at our evangelistic meetings. When I was in Tanzania recently, I travel from site to site each night, so we kind of go and just kind of support all the different lay preachers. We actually brought all of our producers from all over Africa to Arusha, Tanzania, and we held over 100 meetings in Arusha. And it was actually my first time in Africa. It was the most gorgeous country ever. And I had a producer come to me, and he goes, "I need you to pray with me." And I said, "Okay, what do you need me to pray?" He goes, "There's a person who comes every night and they are demon possessed. Every single night, this person's coming and they're demon possessed." So we gathered around him, got a bunch of us there, and we just prayed. And we said that we were going to send, actually the conference president went to that location that night, and they specifically prayed with that man, and the demons left him. This is not the first story we have heard of this. I will be sharing more. It is incredible how much this is happening around the world. The devil is trying to destroy anything he can when he knows that the Spirit of God is there. It's not about us, it's about him. Mission brings God glory. And it said, fear God. Fear God. It's not saying be fearful, as he said. It's about bringing God glory. All of this, the preaching to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, is about bringing God glory, bringing people to him. The miraculous stories of how he works are never ending, but the most miraculous ones are the ones he's doing in our own lives. What is he doing in your life? Quite frankly, I'm stunned that so many people are here. We were actually guessing how many of you would be here this morning while we were driving here. So I made my kids get out of bed, and they were in the car, and they were on our way here at 5:15 this morning. I'm pretty certain that I thought they'd be asleep right now. But I'm so in awe of how many of you are even here. That's because God is doing something in your hearts. He wants to do something through you, not just in you. Mission, as we said, is hearing God's call, partnering with him to expand his kingdom. So this week, if you are here all week, I'm going to be sharing stories of what's going on around the world, but I believe very strongly in total member involvement. How many of you know what that is? Total member involvement is an incredible initiative to get every member of the Adventist Church doing something for the Savior. And there are people who think that that means you have to go and preach far off. No, this is actually what we're trying to say, is it's that you can do something where you're at. So as I share the stories of what is going on around the world, I want to always bring it back to the most important thing. How does that impact you? Because it is pointless for me to share these stories if it doesn't impact you, if it's not going to change you. Then what I have done here would have been in vain if it does not change you, if it does not bring you closer to Christ, if it doesn't make you want to go serve your communities. There is no point. God wants to use you. On Monday, I'm going to share the story of how God called me. Because I will tell you, I never dreamed I would be standing here a year ago. Never dreamed it. I have been a stay-at-home mom for 14 years. I consider that the highest calling. I'm just going to point that out. I loved being a mom. But then God laid a burden on my heart that I had no idea how he could fulfill. And then he blew me away by doing more than I could have ever thought. And it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from Ellen White. There are possibilities for work to be done by you for Jesus that you have never dreamed of. I'm going to read it again. There are possibilities for work to be done by you for Jesus that you have never dreamed of. Maybe the problem is we dream too small. Maybe we think too little about what God can do through us. I feel like an inadequate vessel, yet he still chooses to use me. I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why he chooses to use me, but I want to be used. Did I ever think I was going to go to Tanzania? Absolutely not. And if I did, it was going to be like on some random safari that I managed to somehow save money to go on with my husband. Did I think he was going to use me to go there to spread his word? No, but he did. I had no clue what God had in store for me, but the thing that we have to do is to be faithful in the little so that he can increase it. I want to help you grow your home mission field. I want Mountain View Conference to start a fire among North America Division for them to see what is possible. You seem like a small conference, but that doesn't matter because the best things start off with a small flame. You know, when our pioneers got started in the work, they were young. Ellen White considered herself the least, and God chose to use her. He wants to use you. He wants to use your churches to be hubs of influence for their cities. He wants to plant churches all over West Virginia. Is it really amen? Are we really going to do it? Or are we just saying the right things?
It's like on that prayer.
We have to do what he is calling us to do. And I think it's hard for us because we don't like to do something that isn't easy. Let's be honest. I don't want to do something that's uncomfortable. Do you like to be uncomfortable? If you raise your hand, I'm just going to say I don't know who you are. Nobody likes to be uncomfortable. We love familiarity. We love to have something easy. But God did not call us to easy. He called us to mission and to service. He called us to go. There are possibilities for work to be done by you for Jesus that you never dreamed of. This week, pray. Pray like you never have. That during this time that God will lead you to know what that is. What is His dream for your life? And don't stop there. Pray for your fellow church members. What is the dream He has for your church? So that the end can come, because quite frankly, I'm done. I am tired of this earth. I am tired of the misery. I am tired of the sadness and my heart being torn in two when I hear about the things that are happening. I'm tired of it. Let's go home. Pray that God will give you. Pray for your church and pray for the leadership of this church, whether it is your pastors, the conference, the union, the division, the general conference, they need your prayers because the devil is working hard. I will tell you, it was incredibly interesting to me when I got to the general conference to see how the devil started attacking all of us who started coming to work there at the same time. How he'd go after our children, he'd go after our families. Because I'm going to tell you, he can come after me. Anyone can come after me. You don't go after my family. I'll get all Mama Bear on that. But that's what he's doing. He's going to use our own families, if he can, as weapons against us so that we will not fulfill his purpose. So this week, pray. Pray. Because God wants to do more than you could possibly think or imagine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you so much for being here. Lord, we want to thank you so much that you have called us to go. Lord, help us not to just hear it, but to act on it. Lord, help us to be able to bring your church home. Lord, help us not to stop until we have reached each and every person with your good news. Lord, there are so many around us who are sad, so many who are worn down by all that the enemy has placed on them. Let us help them find freedom in you. Lord, this week I pray for everybody who is on these campgrounds that they will find their purpose in you, that as a church, they will find their church's purpose in you. And Lord, we pray for our leaders, our pastors, our elders, our union and conference and division and general conference presidents and leadership. Lord, we ask right now that they lead, and not towards any one person, but towards you. Lord, because you are what it is all about. And we thank you so much for being here. We thank you that it is the Sabbath, a day where we can spend being with you. We love you. Thank you for dying, but not just dying, but coming back to life so we could live with you for eternity. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.